AgriTalk is brought to you by the Conservation at Work video series. Farmer to Farmer, the Conservation at Work video series features real stories, real successes, real quick. See what's possible at farmers.gov/conservation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Michelle Rook is sticking with us for this conversation, and I want to jump right into it with Emily Score, the CEO of Growth Energy. Emily, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's good to talk with you again.
Great to talk with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, hot off the presses, huh? Here we go.
This could not be more hot off the presses. I mean, they finally sent out the press release about 5 minutes ago, Chip. So Let's talk the future of biofuels.
Okay, let's get into it. What's the biggest takeaway? It looks like some of the details were leaked or seeped out yesterday, late afternoon through Reuters, and it looks like the table that Michelle detailed in the opening segment lines up pretty good with what Reuters was suggesting. Correct?
So I can't speak to that, Chip, but okay. I will say. So here's what else, like, here's the headline. You have an EPA that is leaning in on the future of renewable fuels and biofuels and ethanol. So this is we got to put this in context. This is the first year that EPA is coming out with blending obligations when they don't have statutory requirements. So they were on their own in considering this. And they, for 2023, 15 billion gallons of implied conventional, and that number increases for 24 and 25. So we have an administrator who's leaning in on ethanol, and that's pretty outstanding.
Yeah. He certainly indicated that that was going to be the case. It is good to see the follow through here, isn't it?
It is nice. I will say this administrator, this EPA, when they're channeling, they're consistent and there is follow through. And we've seen that from day one in terms of, their halting of the abuse of small refinery exemptions. So they had been kind of channeling quietly and in different venues for the past couple of months. So this is consistent with what we were hoping to see and what we were expecting.
Okay. I should back up here just a little bit because it is December 1st. It's not November 30. Is it a day late?
Well, no. According to our consent decree, the administrator had to sign this yesterday. So he did sign it. He met the deadline consistent with our consent decree. And we were aware that they were going to be signing it and coming out with it today. So we all wanted to see it yesterday, but oftentimes they'll sign it and release it on different days. So they met the deadline under the consent decree. So pleased to see that.
Okay, very good. Yesterday in a conversation with U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa, he wanted to see growth in the corn-based or conventional ethanol usage numbers in here. And it does have growth. There's no question about that.
There is. The numbers for implied conventional are pretty outstanding. Where we have to take a look at and where we will be providing comment to the agency is on the advance number. And it's really important that the advance number is high enough to account for all of the innovation that's taking place in the industry and the projected really rapid expansion of renewable diesel. So, that's where I think you're going to see a lot of input from the biofuels industry in the comment period and in the hearing is really making sure that advance number is actually higher than what they're proposing.
Right. Okay. Take us to the advanced biofuel blending mandates here. $5.82 billion in 2023, $6.62 billion 2024. Is it $7.43 billion in 25? My calcs, that's a 28% increase in advanced biofuel blending mandates in 2 years. What's the driver?
Well, I mean, I think the driver there is going to be, it's a good question. I think renewable diesel is going to be driving that. There is going to be a conversation now on terms of e-RINs. And so that's going to be a component. You look at the cellulosic numbers, which I think are pretty ambitious. So it's, we'll have to see ultimately, right? Our real concern from an ethanol perspective is we want that advanced number high enough that I don't want any of the renewable diesel that's coming online to be taking it, some of the RINs, the D6 RIN pool, and eating into our 15 billion gallon and our 15.25 billion gallon. That's what we're really looking out for from an ethanol perspective.
Right. Now, these e-RINs, as I understand it, Emily, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the e-RINs will be delivered to car manufacturers for electricity that is produced by a renewable source and used in an electric vehicle. How do we sort all that out?
Well, and they haven't yet. I mean, that's what the comment period is going to be about. Okay. So what's really important as you're looking in the e-RIN and the growth of e-RINs is you've got to have the safeguards in place, the safeguards that you have for the rest of the RIN pools, to make sure that we're addressing double counting, fraud risks, and other requirements to make sure that it's truly renewable energy that's being harnessed to fuel our transportation needs. So there's a lot yet to be figured out, and the agency knows that.
Okay.
And so what I think they're really anticipating, based on my conversations with the agency, is they're anticipating a very robust comment period and conversation about e-RINs. Yeah.
Yeah. This feels like a 60-day plus an extension on the comment period here. That's not guaranteed, by the way. I just want to, it could turn into that. You said that the renewable diesel potential may be reflected in the advanced biofuels, but there was really no specific mention of renewable diesel in the RVOs, correct?
Well, and so we are still have yet to see the full text of the proposed rule. Yeah. We've seen the press release. So we're still digging through the details to better understand it, because this all came out officially, you know, probably within the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But I can hear the smile on your face, Emily. You're happy with the results so far.
I do. Yes, you are correct. You're hearing a smile on my face. I mean, we are above 15 billion. And so they're signaling growth. The agency gave us the additional 250 million gallons for the remand. So we're 7 years later, we're finally covered by the lawsuit that we won.
Yep.
In terms of gallons that were taken away. But, I think we have an administrator. He really went to bat for the biofuels industry and for ethanol specifically. Like any proposal, we're not happy with everything. There's a lot of room for improvement. We want to make sure that advanced number continues to grow up, because our fate, the fate of conventional advanced, is tied together moving forward. We've got to make sure that they get the e-RINs right. The agency has got to clear the backlog of pathways for advanced and cellulosic. So, for example, cellulosic biofuels from corn kernel fiber, they should be able to be participating in that advanced pool. We've got to make sure that they clean up that backlog. So there's more work to be done, but I think this initial proposal, it's very encouraging.
Yeah. Yep. Michelle, anything that we've missed as you're looking at the announcement?
So how will the renewable diesel carve out? How will it go forward, Emily? How will that be handled?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, yet to be seen.
Okay. How do you want it? You said you want it to be handled a certain way, but as Chip and I talked about initially this morning, do we even need that with as robust as the marketplace is already pushing for renewable diesel with all of these new plants coming online and whatnot?
Well, what we want to see is that advanced number increase to reflect all of the anticipated renewable diesel that's going to be coming online in the years ahead.
Okay.
Because renewable diesel, there's a RIN multiplier associated with it. And so that renewable diesel, it qualifies for an advanced RIN, but it could also eat into that conventional biofuel pool. And that's what we want to protect against.
Okay. Okay. Very good. I want to move on to the new legislation that will make E15 available year around. The American Petroleum Institute supports the legislation. Why?
Because it's the right thing to do. I wish I'd been able to say that about them for the past several years. I'm not going to speak for them in terms of why they support it, but I think what the refining industry is starting to see is that they don't want the patchwork solution where you've got a couple states in the middle of the country who are able to sell E15. They need different fuel requirements to be able to do that. It complicates life for the refineries. So it's nice to see that if that's the reason why, great. They're recognizing, you know what, we need a federal solution. So there's consistency across all 50 states. So I applaud their support of this bill. And of course, this is something that we've been focusing on for years. We got to get it done.
Yeah. It, well, and it certainly feels as if there is momentum behind this to get it done. Potential to get it done even in the lame duck?
Well, there's always a chance. There's always a chance. And that's what we're all working on together. Okay. And I would say you look at these proposed RVOs moving forward. Do you know what we need to be able to meet these requirements? We need E15 year round in all 50 states.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. Emily, we obviously need to stay in touch as the details of the proposed RVOs are sorted out as we make our way through the comment period. Thank you so much for giving us a reaction to something that's hot off the presses. Appreciate your time, Emily.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. That is Emily Score, CEO of Growth Energy. Paul Niefer's up next here on AgriTalk.